Next up, we have WOOC correspondent Aaron Pettinati talking with Juan Gonzalez, co-host on Democracy Now!
I'm Aaron Pettinati, and today I'm interviewing Democracy Now! Co-host Juan Gonzalez about his views on the importance of grassroots community media production for progressive social change. Juan, thanks so much for sitting down to talk with me today. It's really great to be interviewing you. Before we get to the issue of community media, I'm wondering if you could tell us a bit about your new book, Reclaiming Gotham, Bill de Blasio and the Movement to End America's Tale of Two Cities. Can you give us a quick sense of the premise and unpack the general argument of the book?
Yeah, well, I've spent the last 40 years covering urban America, covering urban policy, local governments, and the decisions that political leaders make in terms of running our cities, and whether it's zoning, budgets, the land use, taxation, land assessments—all everything that goes into what's generally known as urban policy—and one of the things that I began to realize toward the end of my career, because I retired from daily newspaper commercial journalism in May of 2016, was that something was happening in urban America that most people were not aware of, and that it really came to a head or matured, as I say, in the book in 2013. 2014, which is that suddenly all around the country, a whole group of new mayors came into power, were elected to office, and in addition, many city council members, but who had a similar platforms. Bill de Blasio in New York City, Bill Peduto in Pittsburgh, Martin Walsh in Boston, Betsy Hodges in Minneapolis, Ed Murray in Seattle, Raz Baraka in Newark, New Jersey, Chokwe Lumumba in Jackson, Mississippi. These all were elected mayors of their cities either in 2013 or 2014. And none of them were expected to win. All of them were considered mavericks or far out left progressives, and yet all of them stunned the elites of their cities by winning election, basically on the same platform, that income inequality is a moral issue of our time, that affordable housing had to be addressed in these cities, that police accountability had to become a hallmark of good governments, and that sustainable development for cities had to be an issue that had to be dealt with. And also, all of them were supporters of sanctuary cities. So they all got elected around the same time, and I started saying to myself, well, wait a second, something's going on in urban America that people are not aware of. So I decided to delve into what was happening in the cities, and I spent the next year and a half, 2 years, researching the book, talking to people, grassroots movements, and the leaders in these cities to try to figure out what had happened. And I came to the conclusion that there has been an urban progressive resistance movement in America now for, really, it started 10 to 15 years ago, but it really only matured in 2013 and 2014. Post-Great Recession, post the Occupy movement, that there was a whole new approach by these young leaders to how cities should be governed. So what my book is about is it centers largely on Bill de Blasio, but it then goes out into these other cities to say insist that this is a national trend and that it is a whole approach to opposing the neoliberal policies that have ruled urban America for decades now, privatization of government, seizure of the public commons, lack of accountability by government to the voters through the creation of a constant semi-public authorities that really don't have any kind of direct accountability to the elected, to the voters, and that this whole new wave of leaders is attempting to change the paradigm in terms of how cities should be governed. So that's basically the thrust of the book.
So given your overall sense of the current role of cities in American politics, what do you see as the role of localized media production being in the future of urban progressive activism, both in terms of creating forms of media that are accessible to people within their own communities, but also perhaps with regard to the issue of creating networks between different urban enclaves that are experiencing a progressive movement or progressive revolution?
Well, that's the big issue in terms of journalism, because obviously the journalism at its best is an attempt to provide information to the citizens so that they can make informed decisions when they go to the voting booth or when they participate in local activities in their neighborhoods and holding their elected officials responsible or accountable. And The big problem that you have in the media in America today is that there's less and less local media. The major media companies are obviously in the legacy media, as I call them, the print, radio, and television, are all seeing shrinking audiences, shrinking readerships, and cutting their staffs. And what gets sacrificed always is local media. There'll always be national cable networks or websites that deal with national news, but who's going to report on your local school board, on what's happening in your county commission, what your zoning board is doing to in terms of land policy? And that's the big hole right now is in the coverage of local governments, to some degree state governments as well, because most of the major media companies have abandoned the state houses so that no one is keeping track of all the thieving that's going on, in whether it's Sacramento or Harrisburg or Trenton or Albany. No one is keeping track of what the state officials are doing at the state government level. But it's even worse at the local level. And I've been fortunate to have worked in what I call the three streams of American journalism. And I think that all three have a responsibility to deal with the issue of local governance. When I say three streams, I'm talking about the corporate and commercial press, which is the one that most people associate with mass media in America, but which has never been the only aspect of mass media in America. There's always been the alternative or the dissident or the non-commercial press, which has its own history going back to the working men's press of the 1830s, the muckrakers of the turn of the century, like Ray Stannard Baker and Upton Sinclair and Ida Tarbell and these others, the new left press of the 60s and progressive bloggers of our time, and shows like Democracy Now!, which I've been a part of for now 21 years. So this is a sort of the alternative dissident press that's always tried to present a different narrative to the American society, that always contends for a better appreciation of what is fact and fiction and what is news against the commercial press. But there's also a third stream of American journalism that gets even less attention than those two, which is the press by people of color. Because for more than 200 years, African Americans and Latinos and Native Americans were excluded from either the commercial press or the alternative and dissident press. What ended up happening is people of color had to create their own presses, you know, the black press, the Latino press, the Native American, Cherokee Phoenix in 1828 in Uechota, Georgia, the Freedom's Journal in 1827 in New York, the first black paper in the world, and a variety of Spanish language publications that developed, and Chinese publications. So that press also has played an important role in contending over the narrative with both the alternative dissident press, which was largely white for most of its existence, and the commercial press. So I've been fortunate to have worked in all three of those presses, and so I have an understanding of the broader universe that represents the media. All of them have a responsibility at this time to deal with local news. Like, Democracy Now! Is a great show, but we can't cover what's going on in every city in America. So eventually there have to be local versions or similar to Democracy Now! That get out news and information for the various local communities across the nation. And at the same time, the black and Latino press, which have been largely in decline in terms of ownership, not in terms of appeal, because there's lots of black appeal radio stations these days, but they're no longer black-owned radio stations. There's lots of Spanish-language media in America, but most of it is not owned and controlled by the Latino community. So it doesn't necessarily really represent the needs, the information needs of the communities, of the markets which it serves. They see it largely as markets rather than communities. So I think that all three, the commercial press, the alternative press, and the press of color, all have a responsibility to provide some of that local news coverage, because otherwise everyone's going to be concentrating on what's going on in Washington. No one's going to be saying, well, what's happening in my local city council or my local board of education, and how's my money being spent, how are my kids being educated. So that's the real challenge. How do you create more adequate and comprehensive local news in America?
That was part one of Erin Pettinati's interview with Juan Gonzalez. Tune in next week, Monday, to hear part two.